So I have a question. Outside of Bill, who knows what admonition means?
I do now.
So Merriam-Webster talks about correcting people and adding, forcefully correcting is the word that Webster uses. Started this series on one anothering. We kicked it off with love one another. And one of the things that I mentioned that you're going to keep hearing multiple times through the rest of this series is every class we have really supports the charge that we're given to love one another. And it's quite interesting. If you look back last week when we talk about acceptance, and we talked about the difference between acceptance and tolerance, accept the person, even though that they're in a sinful period in their life. And, newsflash right here, we're all sinners. I'm pretty much know we all know that. But as we go through this one on this process of admonition, and I want to take a look at it on what it means to have this discussion or a discussion with, and we're going to come back to these a little bit later. I want to talk about it a little bit right now. So if understanding what admonition is speaking to someone about something, forcefully, all right? So I don't want to go any much further than the definition. A thing that somebody's doing that requires admonition, what would you say that would be? What would you say would cause you to go talk to somebody in the church? What action would you talk to them about the sin, whatever the sin is, or would you talk to them about the result of that sin? Because there's a difference.
I think somebody's going to result.
Both? Yeah.
Result.
Because you got to talk about one, talk about the other, right?
Different reasons, but I mean, say somebody was doing something that was harming the church. I mean, you could talk to them and say, well, if you continue doing this,
In our church, a couple of years ago.
right.
Right? So if you go to speak to someone and you talk to them about what's going on or the result of what's going on, how is that done under the umbrella of loving one another?
Because love protects.
Very ginger.
That's really our motivation, is to protect.
So let me tell you a little quick story that you have to kind of listen to the whole thing before you get the relationship to this. Y'all know I love golf, right? So I heard an interview one time from Jack Nicklaus when somebody playing golf on PGA Tour gets accused or is approached about cheating. All right. And he talked about all kinds of situations that they need to be approached with, is it protects the entire integrity of the tour. In other words, if this person over here is cheating and only I see it, it could affect other people that I don't see of the tour by raising this point, right? It's very similar to what we're going to talk about today. Would you agree?
Yes.
So again, backing up to it, what situations would you see that somebody would be approached about? And there's steps, by the way. We're going to talk about steps here in a few minutes. Our own church, okay? We had this situation that was causing a lot of uproar in the church by a person, and that uproar was so fierce that it was really causing contacted by email, and people were being contacted, didn't want to be contacted. All kinds of stuff was going on, right? So it kind of it was a move protecting the integrity of the fellowship in our church. Y'all agree with that?
Yes. Things are being said on the internet.
Interesting, Marty, that you say that, because I read a Google review one time about that, and it was a Google review by a person in Arizona who talked about never coming to our church. This person,
Somebody was going by
exactly,
somebody is
by what somebody else said, with no experience at all,
yeah.
Right? I mean, you had talked about that at that time. So there's integrity, and we can come up with another word, but I'm going to use the word integrity. There's multiple situations where that integrity can be compromised, right? Everybody agree with that, right? So a real quick little story right here, and we're going to come back to some more questions. All right. The man proceeded to take the napkin, shake it out, turned around, and tucked it in his shirt at the upscale restaurant. The maitre d' called the waitress. The way he is wearing his napkin is not done here at this restaurant. Waiter didn't know what to do. So he approached the customer and said, "Sir, would you like a shave or a haircut?" Not to approach, right?
Right.
As most of you know, whether it's with your spouses or your children or your friends or your coworkers or whoever it is, sometimes confrontation is risky at best. I there was was on how to give feedback during reviews. And it always talked about feedback's best received when it's wrapped in a good package. And that never did really work out real good for me, but it is what it is. And sometimes it's risky business, right? Bad guy, we confront someone on risk of damaging a relationship. We worry a person confronting may get hurt, angry, right? So what is it? What makes it so unpopular in our culture today to give feedback? And this
don't do it with the love of Jesus.
And there is a lot of that, and we're going to talk about that in a minute, Mike. You're exactly right. If you were to look at our culture today, what do you think is the last week? Our culture, to me, puts a big weight on acceptance and individual rights. So you may have 1,000 people out there, and there's one that's miserable, but that person, if he can claim individual rights, you know, he's going to get away with it. And you're going to be the bad guy. The other 999 people is going to be the bad individual rights. We see it everywhere. I was in Target the other week. Do y'all know what's in Target when you walk up the front door now? We had a guy that showed us this, but and it is how to be gay.
Oh, wow. How to be gay.
Books on how to be gay.
I like it. Happy
Pardon? Yeah. Our culture rejects universal, absolute moral standards. That's so true, right? There's simply no basis for moral correction in some people's minds. People have abused confrontation the way manipulative religious groups have abused confrontation, and it's not surprising we shy away from admonition to one another, right? Nevertheless, in the face of our dislike confrontation and its abuse by some, God says it's necessary and can be helpful, right? What does it truly mean to admonish someone? So let's, as usual, we're going to look at the Greek word real quick. The Greek word, just the raw translation of the Greek word that we get admonished from means to put into someone's mind. That's the rough translation for it. So in other words, another way it's translated is to counsel, to warn, or to instruct. It's part of a group of words that range from correcting the ignorant, I'm just reading this, to rebuking the obstinate. So it's a wide range, very, very wide. Judging themselves and others by their wrong choices and behaviors. Biblical admonition involves moral correction through verbal confrontation that is motivated by genuine love. But I'm telling you, it's real hard to think you're doing it out of love. Trust me.
You didn't sound good, though.
Don't always turn out.
How's that worked out for you, man? How's that worked out for you, right? Yeah. One of the scriptures in Galatians where Paul approached Peter. Do you remember what Peter was doing? So Peter was eating the sacrificed foods, and then when the Jews showed up, he backed away.
When he's around Jews and a Gentile, when he's around Gentiles.
Yeah, you know, Paul admonished him for that. So in reality, there are few signs of our love for someone that is greater than our willingness to risk rejection, broken relationships, because we lovingly confront them for their own good. It's happened. Love demands that we hold each other accountable for God's truths and the truths about ourselves. And, you know, so here's an interesting thought. And this is just something just to bounce in your mind. Situation is, do you think that the admonition would come more from whether you don't believe it in yourself or whether it's truly causing issues? You see what I'm saying? If you take it from a personal standpoint, it's one of the big things now about playing golf is people buy these Bluetooth speakers and they fit in a cup holder and they play very loud music while they're playing golf. One of the guys asked me about that today. They said, was your music bother you? And I said, you know, I'll be honest with you. I said, so, yeah, it does. So is it, was that for the integrity of golf? No. So there, you know, there is a difference and there's an offset to that. The stronger and closer relationship can be the outcome of proper admonition to each other. A real Christian community cannot be experienced if they only accept, encourage, that do that. You know, last week we talked a lot about acceptance. And we talked a lot about the difference between acceptance and tolerance. And there is a difference, huge difference. We discussed that last week. I think it's in the same boat here, right? If we're not everyday standards, and that can be true wherever it's at. It can be true in a marriage. It can be true anywhere. Anywhere you do it at, acceptance pretty much, you know, after a while turns into this. He said, I myself am convinced, my brothers, that you yourselves are full of goodness, complete in knowledge and competent to instruct one another. That's pretty positive, isn't it? Yeah. From the two texts, we see two important things that must be characterized by goodness. This is what I was talking about, what Mike mentioned a while ago. speaks to our motivation, our motive for admonition, our love for each other. And that speaks to overall direct where it's best when the person doing it has their own house in pretty good order.
Yeah.
You know, the log in your eye versus the speck in the other guy's eye. Yeah. And you know, it's interesting. It all comes to the first stone type thing. So admonition must be based on God's specific will and ways, not in our personal opinions. This requires a good knowledge of God's word. Truthfully, this is interesting. In the knowledge of God's word, then we should be receiving, not giving. Ouch. Right? So how do you do this? How do you give this admonition? All right? So, you know how much I like to Google things. You would not believe the different approach process. Look at something written, say, 20 years ago on feedback versus now on feedback. It is totally different. I'm talking about in the working, you know, in the working culture. Is that the way that is done through this is all really for HR groups. It doesn't have a bearing on the way it was. I mean, it's really an acceptable culture thing. More things are accepted, but more things are not accepted. It is kind of flopped. Years ago, you know, telling jokes was totally acceptable in the workplace. Well, that's at the top of the list now, right? But if you are in this LBGT, whatever all the numbers are, letters are group, that is totally acceptable. You know, don't ask, don't tell type thing. So that part has really flip-flopped around in the way that it goes on. But has it changed for the church?
Right.
It should.
Churches that are popping up to make you.
Exactly.
They want to bring people in just to make them feel good.
And you know what that is? That's called tolerance.
Tolerance, yeah.
That, you know, they, you know, truly is not biblical just to get the people to come in. And you're exactly right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of that same type of thing, right?
There's a church in Texas, I saw this, that's having part of a celebration. They were going to have a family drag.
A church.
Drag queens.
Drag queens.
Oh, God.
And
I think it's to do where the denomination is was. That's why I'm here. It's a United Methodist Church.
So
it's family friendly, meaning well, it must be okay if it's family friendly. See,
you're gonna tell them it's okay.
Yeah, and yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's not going to come to Texas.
Well, probably in the Austin area.
So as we talk about offering, other variables include seriousness of the issue, consideration, the history of relationship with the person, the levels. That will help us through this. All right, so let's look at a few of those. First, prayerfully prepare beforehand of reacting impulsively. If you look at something like this, the first reaction from the person you're probably going to talk to, more than likely. I mean, it happens with kids. Why wouldn't it happen with an adult, you know, something like that, right? Spontaneous admonition is rarely effective because we're often shooting from the hip and acting on emotion. That's preparation of heart. Second, it goes without saying, admonition should be done with pure motives and the proper goal. Right? Paul, when Paul admonished the Christians at Corinth, he said not to shame you. Admonition should not be done to tear people down or embarrass them, but to help them build them up. In Colossians, Paul wrote, we proclaim him, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. The goal of admonition should be to help. That's probably or should be the biggest goal, wouldn't you agree? And what I was talking about earlier is when I was talking about the sin or the result of the sin, all right? Because every one of us, before we got here today and before we go activity, right? Right?
Yes.
Yes. So we don't come in here and do confessions every Sunday morning, do we? No, we don't have that. We don't have time. So it's more to me the result of this incident, and I'll go back to this word integrity that can be compromised by this result. Would you agree? So if this is tearing up the relationship in the church, or this is I had a person who's no longer at this church can't come to me, wanted me to put together a list of places that he can send his tithes that had no bearing to the Southern Baptist Association. I'm like, yeah, no, you can go look that up yourself. You know, give it to the youth. Give it to the, you know, any of my money. I want one dime of my money going to the Southern Baptist Association. Okay.
He didn't give them no raise.
Well, a lot of these times they're talking about, oh, they bicker and they fight and they do this. Well, the point is that person was upset. But to me, if you make a big deal out of that, then give it to somewhere else. But, you know, I'm not going to put out a letter that says, oh, the Southern Baptist is bad. You know, this is where you need to do this when 10% of our time. So there's good ways and bad ways, right? And it can cause a lot of ripples, right? The words used are only part of what get it more than our words alone. Third, admonition should be done private and a face to face. If you go through the New Testament, you'll see there's a process, right? That's the way it goes, right? Words are only a small part. Fourth, we should direct to specific rather than vague, sarcastic, or judgmental. If we need to admonish someone about their parenting, we shouldn't sarcastically say something like, boy, I can see you become a great parent, like a real. Yeah, you take such good care of your dog. Would you mind keeping mine for there? If we heard someone say hurtful, we shouldn't say, if we heard someone say something hurtful, we shouldn't say, I know that would be judging their motives and not mind readers. Rather, we should say something, can we talk about what you said today? Fifth, we should ground our admonition in God's word. And I think that's what we're going back to. Paul wrote, all scripture in righteousness. By the way, all those words used back then could be back to the one Greek phrase. It's translated from one Greek phrase. Preach the word, be prepared, and take patience, care, and instructions. Hebrews says this, for the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing the soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. God's word has power to penetrate, convict, and change person like nothing else. All right? Over the course of time, this guy wrote, third, for the truth and admonition rather than looking for the reasons to reject it. Runs directly counter to our natural inclination. When people rebukes us, we instantly and creatively find a reason to discredit and reject their rebuke. That's what I was talking about a while ago. It turns out this was from a pastor. He said, I remember I had this early in my ministry years. He said, after worship one day, I approached a visitor in a foyer who was very unkempt looking. The person wasn't clean, tattered clothes. When I introduced myself, I discovered the person had such a severe situation they could barely talk. After his labored efforts to tell me his name, the man says, you are prideful. I felt my internal defense. If I thought a bunch of things to say, he says, hey, how dare you? Who do you think you are? He said, thankfully, God got a hold of me, and instantly, I simply said something like this. Well, I have to examine myself about that. Thank you. Finally, when someone admonishes you, thank him for the loving that you have. Proverbs says, better to open rebuke, but an enemy multiplies kisses. As we close, this is another story right here. This guy says, he said, I remember my mom taking me aside one day when I was a young adult. And she was very, because I looked up to that person and was trying to follow their example. I listened respectfully after I said that she was my mom, and I thought she was all wrong. I told my mom that I would give careful consideration of what she said. So, turn on pages. She says, over the course of time, I discovered how right that occasion and so many others. Sometimes it takes a while, right? And that's the point this guy goes on to talk about. He says, you may say something to somebody today, and it may not hit home. Something today, don't expect to change tomorrow. That may not happen. You know, immediate change may not be there. So as we close, a few more things just to run over right here. It's so important for us to learn how to receive, to give admonition with love. It says we may be tempted to reject admonition. We may be tempted to turn a blind eye on others that need it. So if we have the same spiritual integrity, then learning to give and receive it is so important and worth doing. So a real quick story. I like stories. So this story is about Ulysses S. Grant, 4-star general, who later became the 18th best friend and federal general. He also became Grant's chief of staff when he became president, right? So during the Civil War, no one was closer to Grant than Rawlins. And this was a huge drinking problem. He said, but he made a pledge to Rawlins that he would abstain from intoxicating liquors during the war so he could carry out his duties to his best ability. He said, on one pleaded with great earnest that Grant he restrained from strong drink. He said, it's for your own sake, but yet the nation's great and holy cause. Rawlins was rebuked, was heated. Grant was not impaired by drink from that time forward to the end of the war. So, you know, that can require admonition. Again, I think it needs to be carried out in the right way. But back to the acceptance and that we talked about last week and the tolerance. If you accept it and you tolerate it, then it becomes standards. And then you regret. So, fortunately, it has to be done. Thoughts? Comments?